who once stomped a player's head on the court, who later was killed in Uganda while doing some diamond business with Idi Amin. True stories? Who knows? But they're all a part of the ABA, the most storied league of them all. Keep this in mind. The ABA never should have been started, much less have lasted from 1967 to 76, while changing the entire structure of pro basketball in the process. The Indiana Pacers, New Jersey Nets, San Antonio Spurs, and Denver Nuggets never should have played a single game, much less moved from the ABA to the NBA. The three-point shot should be nothing more than a piece of long-forgotten basketball history, much like the center jump made after each basket. That's because when Dennis Murphy came up with the idea of the ABA in the 1960s, he's not sure exactly when, it was supposed to have been a second pro football league, only the American Football League had already beaten Murphy and his friends to the idea. Murphy was the mayor of Buena Park, California. He had assembled some money people for his proposed football league. When that concept fell through, he did some serious marketing research and came up with the idea of the ABA. That research consisted of one thing: counting the number of NBA teams. "There was only one hockey and one basketball league," Murphy said, "so why not have another? Since I knew nothing about hockey, but basketball was my favorite sport, I figured I'd pursue the idea of a basketball league. I saw that the NBA had 12 teams. It seemed like there should be more teams. Why? I don't know. What the hell? It was worth a shot." It's hard today to imagine the pro sports landscape of the middle 1960s. There was no cable TV, no internet. There was no tremendous love for pro basketball, even the NBA variety in most cities. The Boston Celtics were winning world titles every year, but they seldom sold out and usually were outdrawn by the National Hockey League's Boston Bruins. Yes, the NBA had only a dozen teams, but close to half of them consistently lost money. There were only three channels available on most black and white TVs, and the networks often recorded higher ratings for bowling and boxing than for NBA playoff games. Had Murphy actually studied the situation with some people who could realistically assess the utter lack of interest in pro basketball, the experts would have told him that pro sports was like this. Baseball was still king, but football was ascending to the throne. Pro football was emerging as the sport of the 1960s. Pro basketball was a distant third in most cities. In some places, it was fourth, behind either boxing or college basketball. There already had been a second pro basketball league in the early 1960s, the American Basketball League. It folded despite the presence of an owner named George Steinbrenner and a coach named Bill Sharman, who was a Hall of Fame player for the Boston Celtics and would win NBA and ABA championships later in his career. Remember, more people wanted to watch bowling than the NBA. Another pro basketball league? Been there, done that. And here's the red ink on the bank statements to prove it. Murphy and his buddies didn't worry about that. In fact, they didn't even think about it. They wanted a piece of the pro sports action. Almost any piece of any sport. They had seen the upstart AFL force a lucrative merger with the established National Football League, and they figured they could get in on some of that action in another arena. They were dreamers, schemers, and sometimes liars. Often the biggest whoppers they told were to themselves, just to keep the league alive. They were driven more out of desperation than inspiration. Dick Tinkham was one of the early owners in the league, putting together the Indiana Pacers. Tinkham said, "We had no plan. None. We wanted to start a second basketball league and force the NBA to merge with us. That was a goal. But a plan? We had none. We went by the seat of our pants and made it up as we went along. If a rule didn't fit with something we wanted to do, we just changed it or ignored it. If someone had an idea, no matter how lame-brained, usually someone tried it." Which brings us to the red, white, and blue basketball. It was the brainchild of George Mikan,